some repenting. As I reminded you last week, God doesn't condemn you. He didn't send the Son into the world to condemn you, but to save you. So nobody can come into this world and condemn you. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. God doesn't condemn, but self-righteousness condemns. God doesn't come to condemn you, but self-righteousness does. When you repent, God celebrates. So every time you, but I did it again, Pastor, it doesn't matter. You do it again, you do it again, you do it again, he'll continue to celebrate in heaven. Because the Bible says, for the one sinner that repents, they celebrate in heaven. More so than the 99 righteous ones that don't need to repent. Is there anybody that are glad that we need to repent to the Lord? We celebrate when we repent. I pray that you followed your homework last week, and every time you took the moment to pray, you asked for repentance, you asked for forgiveness, you turned towards Him. Today I want to talk to you about the theme, how we're giving God permission to destroy. Today I want to talk to you about what we're doing to giving God permission to destroy. Help me this way. Today we're going to be working our Bibles today. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you something again today. Say, we're going to be working the Bible. So if you have a Bible app, you're going to need it. I'm following the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice something. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. I want you to focus there for a minute. When God created a thing, He saw it. He created it, He saw it, and then He declared what it is. He didn't call you good before He created you. He called it good after He created it and He saw it. And once it fulfilled what He intended to do, therefore He called it good. Are you following?
Yeah.
Amen. He does that throughout the scriptures here in Genesis chapter 1. Then the Bible says in verse 31, hallelujah. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. God created everything, He saw it, and it was good. In other words, it fulfilled its purpose, it was successful. In other words, I'm saying that God created you to be successful. He didn't create you that there will be any errors. He created you that you would produce what He created you to do. And when you don't produce or go in the order in which He created you to produce, it is an error. Are you following? You need to fix it, that we need to fix. Come on, fix it.
put my shirt up. My wife's all busting around. Hallelujah. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 1. I want you to see something again. If you have young children in the room, discretion is advised. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. The Bible reads, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. This is good, because when God created man, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue the earth. This was the function and the order of mankind. This was the order. This was the instruction. This was the permission. This was the power that God had given us to be successful. Not just in childbirth, but in everything you do, he gave you power and permission and an order to be fruitful, to multiply, replenish, and subdue. Watch what happens. But there was an error that had occurred in the land. Watch. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men." The sons of God are angels. "Saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." This is an error. "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive. My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 days. Right here, the Lord has mercy on man, because up to this point, you had individuals being able to live to 900, 800, 700 years of age. But now, man has become so sinful, God's mercy, he reduces our age to 120.
That's his
love for you.
That
he says, listen, if I let you live longer, you're not going to make it. You follow me. The Bible says there were giants on the earth in those days. They called them Nephilims. And also afterward, when the sons of God, these are angels, came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. This was an abomination. This goal went against God's order and instructions. This was a contamination. This was not his order. The Bible says, those were the men, the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that. Watch this now. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. Every time you hear me say the word wicked, I need to spoiler alert, is always a sexual sin attached to it. Are you following me?
Yes.
Don't get nervous now. You're already here. Okay. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It was great in the earth. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continued. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of this wickedness, God is always looking for at least one individual that's righteous. He's looking for a way to save you. Because understand, this wickedness is spreading and is contaminating the world. But God, the Bible says he will leave the 99 to go and get the one. He'll do anything he can to find one to prolong life. I want you to play with me. What in the world is creating this wickedness? I want that to stay in your mind. What is behind the wickedness? Go with me to Genesis chapter 13, 12 through 13. Come on, if you got your phones, go with me. I want to show you something. The Bible says in Genesis 13, 12 through 13, it says, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as for Sodom. But the men of Sodom, or Sodom, were exceedingly wicked, there go that word again, and sinful against the Lord. The word Sodom is where we get the word sodomy. Now, good thing that the millennials don't know what that word means. You gotta go look it up. But Lot is going to create his tents. He's going to go live in Sodom, where everything is wicked. Go with me to Genesis chapter 18, 20 through 21. Genesis 18, 20 through 21. Go with me. And the Bible says, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, the wickedness is so great to the Lord that he can hear it. The screams, the yell, the cry out for help in heaven. When there's wickedness going on, the Lord sees it as a cry out for help. It's as if you're hearing a crying baby that needs a father. They're yelling, they're screaming. This is what the Lord is hearing. It says, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very great, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that it has come to me, and if not, I will know. God is hearing an outcry of wickedness, and he's coming down to check to see if it is what he thinks it is. Because if it is what he he's going to destroy it. He's going to destroy it. The Bible says, he's going to destroy it. Stay with me. Now I'm going to give you some real stuff here. Go to Genesis 19, 5 through 9. Genesis chapter 19, 5 through 9. And down to 13. Context. These angels of the Lord have come to Sodom. And they're coming to check on the land. These are destroyers. These angels come to destroy. And they've come to go to Sodom to see if it is what the Lord assumed it was. And he enters into Lot's house. This is what happens after Lot has fed his guests, the angels. The Bible says in Genesis 19, 5 through 9, and they called to Lot, these are the people out in the town, surround the house. And they said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally, that we may know them intimately. These are men, young and old. They're asking, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them formally. So Lot went out to them through the doorbell, shut the door behind him, and said, please, my brother, do not do so wickedly. Wickedly. See now, I have two daughters. Watch this. Lot is so in tune to what wickedness is. He's saying, like, look, I have two virgin daughters. You can have them. But what you're trying to do is wicked. Bible says, he says, only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, they told Lot, stand back. Then they accused me. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came here to break down the door. They came to break down the door. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. What is behind why God is trying to destroy? What is behind the wickedness? And I want people to be clear. I'm not just talking about one particular sexual sin. The Bible describes fornication, I'm gonna get there, as a sexual wickedness. I know y'all picked the right time to come today, I'm sorry. But I gotta be obedient to what's going on. I wanna stay here. When I read to you earlier about the angels mating with the women, I want you to understand that the text there, the Bible found Noah to be a righteous man. And Noah built the ark because there was a flood that flooded all the earth. God destroyed the earth because of the wickedness. God destroyed. Are everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Maybe I got it. Y'all respond more to preaching than teaching. God destroyed the wickedness. When there was wickedness going on, and it was an outcry, a cry out for help, God came down to destroy it. Because what happens is, pride gets in our way. It is pride that causes us to not give thanks to the Lord, and we find our minds flooded with an idol first, and then we go into sexual immorality. I'm going to prove it. Oh, I wish I had some sex. When we get prideful, and because we get prideful, we idol worship. And we find ourselves in sexual sin. Let me prove it. Pride. Go to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 through 50. Ezekiel chapter 16, 49 through 50. Thank you. The Bible says, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride. See that? She had pride. Fullness of food and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty, that's prideful, and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. I took them away. I destroyed it. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire. In the days of Noah, the earth was destroyed by water. And today, listen, in those days, Jesus, the Lord, gave a rainbow to remind us that he would never flood the earth again. But today, we have sin that mocks. Now we have sin that mocks the very thing that the Lord said as a reminder, I will never destroy the earth like this again. Now sin has become prideful, and they use those same rainbows to be prideful of the sin. I only got three people in here that believe. Hallelujah. Isn't that disrespectful? Pride means it's an unhealthy, elevated view of yourself, abilities, or possession. It is you exalting yourself over the knowledge of God. Pride is arrogance, it's presumption, it's conceit, it's self-satisfaction, it's boasting, it's high-minded. Pride means you are rebelling against the order of God. You are in error. Let me show you so that you don't think I'm picking on one group of individuals. Watch how I expose the wickedness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go to Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. I pray that you're getting something out of this. I know that the Lord is going to bless you. I know. The way he cracked me upside my head last night, I said, oh, yes, Lord, whatever you want. Hallelujah. That's Genesis 39, verse 9. The Bible says, this is just a recap. This is Joseph. He's a servant in another man's house. And the wife wants to have him sexually. Okay? So then you guys are in the room. Man, I thought this would be a hot topic, you guys. Hallelujah. Verse 9. This is what Joseph says to the woman. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Just so you don't think I'm thinking on the roof. Adultery is wickedness. And it's led, come on somebody, and it's led by pride. Pride gets in the way, you idol worship, and you find yourself in a sexual sin. Help me on this one. Go with me. I want you to understand this. When it comes to proud people, proud people don't repent. Proud people aren't thankful to God. They won't forgive or ask for forgiveness. This is proud people. This is how you stay disconnected to the Lord. They are proud. Pride creates the error in God's glory. In 1 John, I'll go there. 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 16 through 17 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Now, let's go back to Romans. When you don't follow God's plan and structure in order to be successful, you are in error. You are in error. I want you to see this thing the way the Lord showed you. Romans chapter 1. We're going to be reading. Hope you guys are there so you don't think I'm making this stuff up. Pastor said, that's what the Bible says. Go with me to verse 16. No, go to verse 18. I already read 16 earlier. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I hope you're not. I pray that you're not ashamed. Verse 41. Romans 1, verse 18. The Lord will destroy the wickedness. Watch this. For the wrath of God. The wrath. Yes, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. In other words, you have no excuse. You know God is good. He's been too good to you in your life. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, watch this, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Let me say this. You knew God. You have people out here, you know God, but because your pride won't allow you to glorify him or give thanks, the Bible says you become futile. That means that you're inoperable, unproducing. Your mind doesn't produce the base. You can't produce anything. It's unworkable. It's an error. Would you use a computer that says error? Would you get on an elevator that says error? This is what pride does. Hallelujah. And their thoughts and foolish hearts were darkened. Watch this. Professing to be wise. Professing that they know something. The Bible says they were fools. Because they're in error. There's no order. There's no success. There's no process. There's no power. It's an error. Watch this. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. What do you say, Pastor? Pride always starts with an idol. Y'all follow me now, guys. Now I got you. It starts with an idol. Now watch what happens second. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. What do you mean? What do you mean, God? You mean lust for money? You mean lust for things? Watch what it says. To dishonor their bodies amongst themselves. You're dishonoring. The reason why God created your body is to be productive. But he's saying here, because you created an idol out of pride, now your mind isn't making no sense. You think you're wise, but it's an error. And now you are dishonoring, you are abusing your own body. there any more kids in here? Dishonor their bodies among themselves. I'll just keep it there for the wrong folks. Watch this. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship the serve, the creator, the creature rather than the creator. They serve the creature rather than the creator. They serve the idol rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Watch this. For this reason, God gave them up. In other words, he let them go. I'm a gentleman. I'm going to let you do what you want to do. They gave up for vile passions. What in the world? Vile? That's nasty. Vile passions? Look how it goes from one sexual passion to a deep. It gets deeper. Look. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. So there's a natural use for a woman. I'll use that. I'm going to use the term. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust, the lust of the body, the lust of the eye, lust of pleasure, pride of life. For one another, men being with men is sodomy, committing with what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty, watch this, of their error. If you got a Bible, does your Bible say error? The penalty of their error, this is an error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over, I'm saying it again, and even as they did not like to retain God. In other words, they were too prideful to repent. Listen, if you're single, and you, listen, I feel you, but I need to tell you the truth, because we cannot be like the world. If you are a child of God, you cannot be like the world. He's given us the power to abstain. Be faithful. Don't be prideful. Your pride is telling you you can still get away with this. And I'm talking to somebody, listen, it's not just sexual intercourse. Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust after, am I talking right now? And lust after her, you've committed it in your heart. So what does that mean, Pastor? That means brothers, when sister girl, with all that body, because they walking around the city. I'm trying to help you, saints, because they walking around the city with all that body. Come on. Stay right there. Come on, walk past me. That body above Christ, then I'm led away by vile affections.
That's right.
Now it's like, what's up, shorty? What's up with you? And I'm not trying to get to know her. I'm trying to get to know flesh. It ain't that spiritual problem. There ain't nothing spiritual about this. The Bible says, come on, somebody. Listen. The Bible says, leave and cleave, right? And we become one what? In
don't save one, spirit do. So with me and my wife, we ain't nothing spiritual. Ain't nothing spiritual about what we doing. But this is my wife, so it can't be wicked. It is the natural use of what he created to do. But if we were not married, that's an error. That's wicked. I'm going to show you in the Bible. And I'm going to close because I got to say this for Wednesday. I can't keep you guys too long. I'm going to get you out of here. Get your fine self. Ain't nothing spiritual about you. Oh, we got a spiritual connection. This ain't no spiritual connection. That's idol worship. That's idol worshiping. Why do you think porn is the highest grossing industry in the world? Because the enemy knows how to distort the image. God created us in his image. But the enemy has distorted the image to be lusted after so that we can create this great wickedness. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now the text goes on and he says, after that, they were led over to a reprobate mind or a debased mind. It means that you are full of wickedness. There is no ounce of righteousness in you. That means that there is no ounce of righteousness in you. You have said, you know what, it's okay. I'm not going to repent for this. I was born like this. I lost all my sponsors, but that's okay. I don't have any. The Bible says this. We were all born in sin. All of us. So what you mean? Honey, I got a battle too. Oh, so you get to say you was born like that and you don't get the battle? We was all born in sin, and the Bible says, and we were shaped in its iniquity. That means when you came into the world said, poof, this is what we got to offer. Gosh. Oh, I wish I had the church with me on my side this morning. We all got a battle, honey. All of us. We all have to sustain, abstain from things that we like. So that we can maintain the order, so that when God looks on me, he says, good. And it was good. Because he created me to do that thing. And if I'm out of order, then there's a destruction. Do you understand what I'm saying, saints? He did it in the days of Noah. He did it in Sodom and Gomorrah. He scattered them when they tried to build a tower in Babel. They created an idol. And what the Bible says, he heard their cry. He came down to see things going. Is the Lord coming in your, is he in your life? Hovering because there's an outcry? Is there addictions that are going on because of pride? You don't want to ask for forgiveness. You don't want to repent. You don't want to go to the Lord and be thankful. Be thankful, honey. The reason why you're settling, the reason why you're settling for those pigs is because you're prideful. You're not willing to wait on God's order. Honey, he got somebody for you. If he put the desire in your heart to have a wife, don't you know he got a wife prepared for you? Don't you know he put the desire of having a husband in your heart? Don't you know he got a husband prepared for you? He has that for you. We have a good God. He hasn't forgotten about you.
Yeah.
I'm only going to stay in text. I'm going to close here. I want you to see this text. I hope I... No. Yeah, I'm going to close here. Hallelujah.
put a second thing. I promise I'll just close you. Be patient. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Hallelujah. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
I said, y'all all right?
Yeah.
I'm about to mess y'all up if y'all don't tell me y'all all right, because I'm about to show you something that's great. Hallelujah. I want you to go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. We got to give some things up, family. And trust God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, it says, for God did not spare the angels who sinned. Y'all remember who the angels were, right? Who slept with the women of a man. And that was a big no-no. What happened to them? But cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. That's where they are, to be reserved for judgment. God, as soon as they slept with the women, God kicked them down. They're delivered into chains of darkness right now. Right now. Watch this, to be reserved for judgment. And did not spare, watch this, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a creature of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly and delivered righteous life, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. We know what wicked means. For that righteous man dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I love this part. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. This is pride. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Now I want you to go, real quick to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Go there, Proverbs 16, 18. I'm gonna read one more, I'm gonna get you out of here. Bible says, pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. Pride happens and then destruction happens. I'm going to read this, you know, I got to go there. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, that's pride. And before honor is humility. A man's pride will bring him low, but humble in his spirit will retain honor. Now finally, I want to read this with you. 2 Chronicles, hallelujah, chapter 7, 13-14. I want to help you with this. Please tune in to Wednesday night Bible study. When I got more time, I'm going to unpack this thing the way the Lord has given it to me. You don't want to miss it, and you don't want to get caught up in the destruction. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 14, it says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. There must have been pride going on for that to even happen. The Bible says, but if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, you know what wicked means, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Yesterday, as I rode my bike and I was comparing the message in Genesis 18, I was riding my bike through a big banner that just said, Rainbow Pride. And I was like, whoa, this is deep. And I went through the parade. You can judge me if you want to. But I went through the parade and I saw so much nakedness. It was not a place for children, but I saw children in this, these parades. And I mean, these individuals had no clothes on at all. And I walked through it, and the stench of sexual immorality was in the air. And I rolled my bike through it, yelling, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hear you on the screen. And as I went through it, I just prayed for them. I didn't condemn them. I prayed. Because that could be your loved one. That could be you. I prayed so that the Holy Spirit can pull them out of their pride. Because they're idol worshiping. And as I walked through, I ran into a Christian who was playing the instruments for them. And I said, what's up, brother, you good? He's like, yeah, I'm doing good, man. We doing our thing out here. He was celebrating the pride. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. If I celebrate it, I'm elevating it. And if I'm celebrating something, that means I gotta deny something, don't I? And I'm not denying Jesus Christ. I'm not condemning you, baby. But I can show you a more excellent way. I can show you Jesus Christ. I can show you a way out. And the brother, when I saw him, I said, man, I'm praying for you. He said, what's wrong? What you mean? This is how the enemy gets us. He gets us to buy into lifting up sin. Lifting the error up. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's getting you, the enemy wants you to believe the lie.
That's right.
Do you hear what I'm saying? He wants you to believe the lie so that you can be accepted. But if you accept that, you deny the truth. I get to do this. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be humble to the Lord and not prideful. Because if you see anything that is not putting pride in the Lord, it is a curse. And it's headed for self-destruction. You don't want to be in the way. I got out of the way of there and I felt the Holy Spirit fall on me. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, son, I am coming to destroy anything that anybody tries to erect or exalt or have pride in over me. Don't be caught in that. Don't be caught in that. Give God thanks. Touch your neighbor and say, give God thanks.
Give God thanks. Give God thanks.
Hallelujah. My job is done. Now, for those of you who are dealing with that, or who is confused by that, and I don't mean homosexuality, I mean any sexual sin, adultery, sex before marriage, sodomy, anything that is causing you to be disconnected with the Lord. I'm not asking you to come up. I'm just asking you, in your seat, I want to pray for you. And if you're somebody that has bought the lie, I want you to bow your heads too. I want to pray for you. Amen? Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, murders, it's filled with sexual immorality, it's filled with theft, malice, all wicked, all matters of wickedness, Father. And this is the real church that will show this world the way. Lord, if any one of us are in a lifestyle of error, we are here to give you thanks and praise. Because we don't want to be caught in your destruction. We want to go with the way that you created me. We want you to look on us and declare we are good, real good. So Father, renewing me a right spirit so that I may worship you and deny the pride, that I may elevate the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. That you will tune in on Wednesday. How many of you just love the Lord? I want you to know something, that your pastor is going to be fought by the enemy on these issues. But it is my job to preach to you the Bible. I will not preach to you my opinion. I will preach to you the Bible because I want you all to make it. I want to be a pastor. I want to pastor you. I want to love you. I want to tell you the truth. I want to lead you down the right path so that you always stay connected with our Father. I want to say this. You're not of the world. Stop getting caught up in the politics.
Amen.
The politics is the world.
That's right.
It is the organization that is geared to the world's needs. Stop being so gung-ho about politics. The Bible says, unto us a son was given. And unto us a son was born, and we shall call him Mighty Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Ruler, Prince of Peace. And the Bible says, and the government shall be upon. That, do you know what government is talking about? He's not talking about the United States of America. He's talking about you, church.
You are the government. So if there's a need that we need as a community, we take care of it.
Yeah.
We don't get the government rights to take care of our own.
The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, they had all things in common. They did all they could to make sure everybody was good. Family. If we need anything, we should be able to go to one another. Whatever they change in the laws shouldn't affect you no way. You're righteous. You're righteous. The law shouldn't affect you, child of God. Should it? So why are you getting up in a husband? Why are you getting mad? It doesn't affect you. So stop getting caught up in politics. That is another trick of the enemy. Love one another. Hug one another. If somebody's in need, bless them. So that our Father in heaven can bless you. Be the government. And you don't have to ask for hands. I'm sorry, Saints, do not debate about about these politics. Don't debate about your faith. You don't have to debate what you live. And you say, I don't. Why are you? It's not debatable. Stop debating the word of God. Show it. Amen. Let me give you a benediction. Everybody all right? Are y'all coming back next week? Raise your hands with me. Father, as we walk into this world, will you be a light unto us so that the darkness will be guided and can know the way, the truth, and the light? Renew in us a right spirit, right hand of God. Cleanse us. Wash us white as snow. In Jesus' name we pray.